She would never prove this, so you can just hate Elizabeth. Okay, this is Judy on November 25th. And what I was going to do to start, Judy, was to ask you, when you think of us doing a book on the lesbian community, is there anything important that you think we just have to include when you think about your life as a gay woman?
Well, there are so many facets to a gay woman's life, you know, that it would be an impossibility to really pinpoint any particular one, you know. I think it's a marvelous idea. I really do. I think it's great. I think it should have been done a long time ago. And probably people didn't come forth because they were afraid, you know. And I can understand that. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was one thing. I was afraid.
Uh-huh.
Job thing, whatever.
Right.
I was married a short time, you know. I was afraid of that, you know.
But you can't think of any one particular thing that you, when you've thought about it, you want to make sure people know about gay life, gay women.
Well, I think there's such a misconception that it's almost like shoving something down someone's throat to try to make them believe anything because it's so misconstrued, you know.
Uh-huh.
And no matter what, like even my family, who really, truly try to understand me, they do. They
uh-huh.
really do.
Uh-huh.
I think, even like my sister and I'm very close to her. Like I've said different things, you know, just sort of like picking things up, you know, at random and throwing them at her, you know. And not really anything that she, that would be distasteful to her or anything that I think would be distasteful to her, knowing her as well as I do. I think it's very difficult for them to accept it,
mm-hmm.
you know, really.
I know, it's the same thing.
She thinks of me as her kid sister and, you know, I should have a family and, you know, like, should be happily married and, you know, was married for like 30-some years. And it's very difficult for them to understand this. And I think people should, I think they try too hard to make people understand. And I honestly don't think that this is necessary. I really don't. Because
mm-hmm.
if they're going to understand it, they're going to understand it. If they're not, they're not going to pay attention to it at all. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard they try, it's still all screwed up in their head. You know?
Right.
The idea of two women living together, two men living together, they think this is crazy. You know, what kind of a house is this? You know, they can't understand how there could be two women or two men, like say the father's a nucleus of the family, the mother's a nucleus, you know, that sort of thing. They can't differentiate this.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is what makes it difficult for them to understand a heterosexual, you know, person.
Right.
It's very difficult for them to accept this.
Right. They just can't.
And I think we try too hard to shove it down their throats. I really do.
But you think we could just ignore it?
I think we could not even just ignore it. I just go along with it. I mean, look at how many people day after day that you've met you never even knew were gay.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And they turn out to be, oh, nice people. You know, really nice people. And you just accepted them even before you even knew you were, there was, you know, anything different about you. Right?
Uh-huh. That's
and they
true.
Turn out to be quite nice. You know?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, gee, I didn't know they were gay. You know? They didn't have to, you know, say, look, you know, here I am. Wow. You know?
Right.
Look how good, you know, how great I turned out, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is one of the things I would stress. I would say, no, don't push, you know. Because I think there are people who understand, and there are people who are never going to understand. I mean, let's face it, the mentality of the people in the United States is such that this is crazy to try to shove it, you know.
Down people's throat.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah, sometimes, do you sometimes wonder why is it that some people understand and some people
yeah,
don't?
Yeah, right. Well, don't forget the intelligence of the people that you're discussing things with. Like, say, the people that you've even, you know, had interviews with. You've seen a vast difference, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
in their mentality level, you know. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And their idea of, I mean, I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen, like, people out, like, say, in the summertime that I've never seen again. You know, in a gay bar,
mm-hmm.
fooling around, blah, 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 supposedly going with some. You never see them again. I mean, they're like gay for the season, you know.
Uh-huh, and then they
you know,
back
that's right.
Right.
I mean, there are very few that I have honestly, can honestly say I have known and seen and that I have remained, you know, what they are.
Huh.
And not have changed, you know.
So, in your experience, there are very few people who've continued gay for as
I
long
think
as
so.
You. Well, let's get back to start from, how long ago was it when you first came out?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. 1842. 1946 when I graduated high school. I would say 1944.
1944. Yeah. Was that the first time you had any gay feelings yourself?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that was the first time I had any gay feelings.
But it was your first?
Not the first time. Because when I was quite young, like about 8 or 9, there was a girl in my neighborhood, and we played, you know, little games together. Didn't even know what we were doing. However, we were attracted to one another.
Uh-huh.
You know.
God, 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah. Oh, my and it's, you know how funny? My mother knew there was an attachment, but she didn't know what kind. And she said, why are you always hanging around with her, you know? And I said, we have a lot of fun together. I mean, what am I going to tell my mother, you know? And I knew that it was the kind of thing I could not tell my mother. You know, at 8 years old. Couldn't possibly tell my mother that we were necking and, you know, fooling around. We used to take baths together. You know, crazy little things, like little kids. Maybe that you would do with a kid sister or kid or whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I never had a kid sister or kid brother.
Did you know what it was? Did you know?
Oh yeah, oh sure.
How'd you know what it was?
Well, I knew it was a different kind of feeling that I felt for my family,
uh-huh.
And I felt for any of my other acquaintances. It was a tremendous attraction, tremendous bond, you know.
Did you know that did you think you wouldn't have that feeling for boys later, or you?
No,
didn't?
I didn't. I really thought I was going through slight infatuation or whatever, uh-huh. But I really couldn't fathom this. I mean, I was going, how old can you be, you know? I mean, I'm sure I had to. I knew that it was not the thing,
uh-huh.
That should be. However, I couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on for, I would say, like a couple of years. That's a long time.
Right, right. To have a close friendship like that. And loving.
From 8 to 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
8 to 10 years of age? You know.
Huh. And then in 1944, you came to a different understanding.
In 1944. Then I really became attracted to, as an adult, you know, I mean, how much of an adult, 16 years old,
uh-huh.
But as I was thinking differently, and then I didn't think it was wrong,
huh.
You know.
Had you already had some attractions to boys?
Oh, sure, I went out with boys.
Uh-huh, but
I had never had any sexual relations with boys then.
And then in 1944 you had a relationship with a woman?
With a woman.
How'd that come about?
Well, it was really funny because I was out with a friend of mine. We were supposed to be going bowling.
Uh-huh.
And we did go bowling. We wound up going to a bar. Gay bar.
Huh.
Ralph Martin's.
I'm sure you've heard of it. No, you're the first person to mention Ralph Martin.
That was the biggest gay bar in the city of Buffalo.
In 1944. Where
male
was
and female. It was not just all male or all female. It was on Seneca and... not a nice part of town.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, you know, the gay bars were in nice parts of town. They were looked down on, so they never opened in halfway decent neighborhoods, you know. Oh, isn't that awful? Elegant, was it?
Well,
whatever.
You
can
think about
kind
it.
It was on Seneca, near, whatever. I can't think of the other street.
And who is this?
But you know who I'll ask? When June comes, I'll ask her.
Okay,
the streets.
Good. Who is this woman that you went out with to this bar? June, isn't that amazing?
She'll be here today.
That's amazing.
We've been friends for many, many years.
Was she older than you?
Yes. She was 12 years older.
And how'd you meet her?
Well, this was what I'm going to tell you. We said we were supposed to go on bowling, so we wound up at this bar. Now, previous to this, I had never been to a gay bar. I didn't even know they existed.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I walked in, it was a Friday night, and that was the big night, you know, bigger than Saturday.
Hmm.
And we walked in, and I thought, my God, this is really something. You know, I couldn't believe it. And it was entirely... I don't think there were any straight people in the bar that night. If there were,
they were overshadowed.
Yeah, right. But there were an awful lot of lesbians. I mean, really, at that particular time, there were many, many more lesbians who came out and didn't worry about having their hair curled or long or whatever, or their ears pierced or whatever, you know, this kind of thing, to look a little, because they really didn't care, you know? And really, I think now, I think lesbians are a little more feminine looking, except the young kids that come out and they think this is a hot shot, you know, that they look great, you know, with their little boys' clothes and whatever. But at that time, I mean, almost every lesbian was dressed in men's attire, similar to that article that Abra had.
Huh.
You know which one I mean?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
With that girl, Eleanor?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, I met her one time at a party, and it was their going-away party, her and her girlfriends. And she really, I thought, she's from the old school. That's exactly how they used to look.
Huh. You know. And so both women in couples would both look like that.
No.
No.
No, no. There was a hell of a difference.
There was a hell of a difference. What did the other women look like?
Well, they looked like girls. Huh. With the makeup and the earrings. And at that time, slacks weren't really that popular. You know, except during the war years, they came into more popular because of the plants that, the defense plants that people worked in, whatever, you know. And to wear a pair of slacks was really kind of, it really looked down on because they just weren't worn for everyday attire, you know.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't part of the wardrobe. That was part of something like if you were going riding or if you were going whatever, you know, roughing it, you know. Uh-huh. But if you went out, you didn't wear them, you know. Maybe my first pair of slacks I thought were the greatest I ever had in my whole life, you know. But it's funny.
So how did you meet this woman who you went
and
bowling
with? We started, sat down, we had a drink. Oh, maybe about 20-25 minutes, we were sitting there, we were talking. And watching, you know, you're really in awe of all this. You know, I was anyway. I don't know about anybody else. I'm speaking for myself. And she and a friend wandered over. Same type. Another husband. And asked if they could buy us a drink. I said, sure. You know, we didn't have that much money anyway. Actually, if anybody asked, we'd have had a drink. Because at that time, money was scarce, you know.
Uh-huh.
And not just some people. I guess some people were making good money in defense plants. We were too young to work in defense plants. And they came over and sat down. They started asking us what our names were. You know, it was the first time we were there because they had never seen us before. And, oh, yeah, the first time we were there. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I could hardly wait to get back to that bar. We left in about an hour because I was feeling kind of, I won't say uncomfortable, but, I mean, the small talk was getting to me. I'm not a great person for small talk.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, what a drag this is, you know. That expression was not in effect then, but I thought, oh, you know, but we left. But I think it was only like a couple of days later we went back. Now, it was a dull night, so there were only a few people in the bar, a couple of gay boys and a couple of girls, you know, that I really were nothing, you know. But on Friday, we went back again, and there were the same two people, you know. And they were so happy to see us. It was really funny. And then we sort of, you know, got so that, oh, then she asked me if I would go to the movies with her. And she was really very nice. I said I could have really met a rat or really a fink. But thank God I met someone who was really nice and a professional and a nice person, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Who was good and was not going to lead me astray or, you know. But, as I said, I did feel uncomfortable the first time. Not when I was first in there. I felt uncomfortable when they sat down with us.
Uh-huh. Let me go back a minute.
Because they look so different, you know.
Uh-huh. How come you and your friend who you were going to go bowling with thought to go to this gay bar?
She had been there before.
She had been there before,
yeah.
Huh?
Which I didn't know.
You didn't know
no.
that, huh?
And then she told me when we got in, she said, do you like it? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And I liked everything. I loved watching everybody. You know, I thought it was great. And she said, I was here another time. Well, she had been there with another friend of hers.
Huh.
Who I didn't know was gay.
And did she then tell you what it was to be gay?
Oh, yeah.
She did. And what'd you think?
Oh, I didn't think it was odd. So it really didn't strike me funny. Because don't forget, I already had that experience.
Right, right. And then did it click in your mind that
sure.
this is what you were?
That's exactly what I felt. I thought, that's what I felt. I never knew what I felt. I mean, you know, except a lot of affection and, you know, admiration and whatever, you know, goes with someone you love.
Is that friend who you went with, was she a high school friend?
No, she was only about 2 years older than I was. And, I met her when I was 8 years old. She was 10.
Uh-huh.
No, she was
no, but I
friend.
Mean the friend you went
oh,
to the bar
friend that
with.
I went, yes,
she
yes, we went to school together.
Huh. So do you still see her?
She lives in, I still write to her. And I do see her when she comes into town occasionally. Her family still lives here. She lives in Columbus, Ohio.
Is she still gay?
No, I won't say it, no. She has since married, but she's not adverse to gay people. I mean, this is not. She loves being around them. When she comes to visit me, she likes to go out to the bars.
Huh.
Not for an affair or anything. She just likes to be around them. I think she had a very bad experience with a girl she went with, and she turned out to be kind of a loser and really not a very nice person. Made a lot of trouble for her, with her family, etc., which is really, you know, kind of does put it down a little. And I don't think after that she really trusted anybody, you know.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, it's too bad because she introduced me, you know, to practically, really. I'm sure I would have found it myself eventually. But I just speeded up, you know, my entry into the gay scene.
Had she guessed that you were gay?
I think so.
And was she attracted to you?
No, not really. She liked me. I mean, we were very good friends. We were very close friends. And like we slept at each other's house and that kind of thing. And it was just good friends. No, I don't think so. I think she liked me as she probably would her sister, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because, as I said, we're still very close. We still correspond, you know. Huh.
So was the word that you used way back in the 40s, was the word gay? Like, did she say, well, this is a gay bar or homosexual?
Yeah.
That
was
the word that
gay,
was used.
Yeah, I was just gay.
Uh-huh.
And they never used the word queer.
Uh-huh.
They never used a derogatory like dyke and that kind
they
of
didn't
thing.
Use dyke way back then.
Oh,
yeah.
That's verboten, really.
Huh. No. So you either use gay or a lesbian.
Or straight. You know, there was a difference. You either gay or straight. There was no, you know. I never even heard the word bisexual.
Huh.
I mean, I'm sure there were many. You know.
So what did you do once you learned that this was you?
Well, I decided that I was going to... I liked her. I really did like her. And I decided I'd gone out with her many times.
Uh-huh.
And she was living with a girl, but they also became good friends. And this girl married. And for a time, I left home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want my family to, I didn't think it was a good idea for them to really know that much about me. So I left home and went to New York City.
With this woman?
With this woman. She had to go to X-ray school for advanced classes.
Uh-huh.
So that was a good opportunity. And I went and worked down there too, you know. And then when we came back, really, actually I should have never come back to Buffalo in the short time I did, a couple of years I was done. Because my family was still, you know, kind of angry because I left my mother, this sort of thing, you know. Because, you know, being Italian and all that, you don't leave the house till you get married.
Right,
you know,
a woman.
That's right.
Right. Did they know you were gay?
Oh, yeah.
How'd they find
someone
out?
Someone called my mother.
How'd that happen?
I don't know, but someone called her. She told me what they said. There's no way my mother would ever know the jargon that they used. Never.
So that it was clear.
Oh, I knew. Yeah.
Did you know who called her?
No, I wish I did, though. Not because I mean, I'm glad they told her because it saved me from telling her. But I didn't want her to find out that way.
Right.
But I have never
dirty.
Found out who told her. She said it was a woman. Nice, though.
So you and June were seeing one another, and then...
Then she had to go to school, and I had to make up my mind whether I was going to stay or go to New York with her for the year. Which I did. I decided to.
And your mother knew before then?
No, my mother didn't know I was going to leave. Oh, my mother knew before then, yes. Mm. But my mother didn't know I was going to leave home.
Mm.
But I did, you know, very badly. I just left one morning and just didn't come home anymore.
How old
but
were
I called her.
Were you about
18?
18. Had you finished high school?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then what kind of work did you do?
Well, I did secretarial work. You know, I tried. Didn't really have that much money, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to spend money on classes or anything. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really, we were living kind of poorly because she was going to school, I was working, and really not making that much money. Because don't forget, the only places that paid any money at that time were defense planes. Or by this time, the war is over. You know. However, in order to get a halfway decent job, you had to have more classes and more or whatever. You know. So
mm-hmm.
I just took the first thing I could take, first thing I could find. Not the person I could find. That would pay a halfway decent salary in order to exist. That's exactly what it was existing.
Where'd you live in?
In the Bronx.
In the Bronx?
On Topping.
Oh my gosh.
Topping Avenue, right at the Grand Concourse.
Why'd you live up there?
I don't know. We liked it up there.
Huh. I thought you might have lived in Greenwich Village.
No, I didn't. But we had friends who lived in Greenwich Village. And one boy who would have been in Buffalo, whom June knew. And we spent a lot of time with him. and there were three girls that we also knew that that she knew. I didn't know them. And they were really good friends, you know. They lived in the Bronx, and I think that's probably why, you know.
Oh, she knew those three friends.
She knew three girls and a boy who were there already, yeah.
And they all were gay.
Oh, yes.
They're all gay. And they lived in the
Bronx. And we went to the village a lot, you know.
Let's go back a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about your family, what your father did, your mother did?
Well, my father was a toolmaker and self-employed. And he made all kinds of special tools for, like, say, restaurants. You know, like French knives and things like that. I don't really know what you'd call it, a toolmaker. I guess you would. No, that's what he called himself anyway. My mother had never had a job in her whole life. She just raised a lot of children.
And you were the youngest?
I was the youngest.
Oh,
only nine lived, though. Two died when one was at birth and one was a small, you know, infant.
That's interesting. That's like Bobby's family, and she's the youngest, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder what happens to the youngest. They get spoiled.
How hard did your mother say you had 11 children, you're the only funny one? You know, she didn't know what else to say. I mean, she didn't know the terminology, and, you know. I wasn't the only funny one.
Where'd you live? Where'd your family live growing up?
Well, when I was a child, you mean?
Yeah.
On the east side, on Swan.
Uh-huh.
Swan Street.
So the gay bar wasn't so far away from
you? No, it was close. I could walk.
Wow, that's amazing.
And if I was coming home late, I'd run, you know.
And was that an old Italian section around there?
Yeah, I would say the majority of them were Italian, yeah.
Okay, let's see, where were we?
All Italian neighborhood.
Right, all Italian neighborhood. So how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Six brothers and two sisters.
Six brothers and two sisters. And did any of them come to understand you better than others?
Oh, yeah. One brother and both sisters.
One brother and both sisters.
That's all.
That's all, and the others didn't.
Mm-mm.
And do you see them still?
Oh, yeah, very close to my family. I'm closer to my family now than I've ever been.
And they just ignore it, or
what? No, they just... isn't that they ignore it. I think they would like to believe that it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it never existed. And just pick up from, you know...
Yeah.
But they know, you know, when you have lots of older brothers and sisters that are 20 years older than you, 22 years older than you, you don't find that they ever treat you as an adult.
Right, that's what Bobby feels, too.
They treat you as like you were still, you know, in elementary school.
Yeah, that's what the kids say.
They never treat you as an equal. Never. Like, if I voice an opinion, they'll say, how do you know? You wouldn't know that, you know. It's weird.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you about the bar scene when you first went, Ralph Morton's. Were there any other bars in Buffalo at that time?
That was the only one at that particular time. And then short time later, there was a Niagara Hotel on Niagara Street. And it was Eddie Ryan's Niagara Hotel. He had owned a bar on Seneca, farther down from Ralph's. And he opened, of course, he'd probably say, listen, you know, jump on the bandwagon, you know. And Ralph was making a lot of money at the time, but he was a lot nicer. Well, he was gay, I think, though, I'm sure.
Eddie was gay?
No,
Ralph. Oh, Ralph's was nice.
Yeah. But Eddie, I think, decided, well, you know, let's make some loot while we can. But say, he opened the gay bar, so there were two then.
And do you think that was before the 50s, huh?
Oh, I know.
In the late 40s, there were two.
Yeah.
Was Ralph Martin's a mixed bar? Like, were there blacks and whites?
No.
Or all white, huh?
Well, at that particular time, a lot of black people were not... I didn't see a lot... I don't remember seeing a lot of black gay people.
Huh.
Really. Women, especially.
That's interesting.
I never knew one black lesbian.
Is that right? In the 40s? When did you
never.
First meet them?
I knew one, two black gay boys. But I never knew a black lesbian. Never. That's odd.
Do you think they had other places they went to, or what do you think?
No. I don't know where they went to, but I know there was not a black gay lesbian bar.
That would be interesting to find out.
That is odd.
Where people were. Right. Then the other thing I wanted to ask you, what did you think of roles when you went into the bar and you saw some women dressed
as if they were very mannish? That's so funny. I never thought that was odd.
Huh. I know what you mean, Chris.
I never thought that was odd.
And did you know right away how you wanted to be?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, how do you feel? You know how you feel.
You know how you feel, huh? And then did you, what do you think? Do you think roles were different then?
Oh, definitely. I don't think they're, I don't think that now they differentiate as much.
But then it was very clear.
That it was very cut and dried. It was the, a butch or lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And the girlfriend.
That's how
the lady,
it was.
The lady.
And her lady. Huh?
That's right. And they dressed differently. They acted differently.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a thing called Butch Night, where they went out, like, you know, the boys go out. That was Friday night.
Oh, my goodness. So they would just get together, and they would go out to the bar?
By themselves, without
and
the girls.
And what would the ladies do?
God only knows.
And did they...
Do their hair, whatever, I don't know.
And they were called ladies, not femmes, then?
They were called... I've never heard the word femme.
You never did?
Never.
Until the
60s? Until later, yeah. I don't remember the year, but I remember later on hearing. But I never heard that expression.
I hope you don't think I'm silly, but I want to know which you identified as. Were you the lady or were you you were the lady?
Yeah.
And so what would you do when somebody went to the bar Friday night?
Well, actually, I used to go and visit my mother. You know, that was a good night for me to go see her.
Uh-huh,
So it really didn't bother me, you know.
Uh-huh. And then Saturday night you always
Saturday we went out, you know, like date night, you know.
So that's why when you met on Friday night, that's why you met June. She was out looking around, huh? And that was a busy night.
That was a busy night. But that was also, that you never saw, very seldom ever saw, a lesbian there with her girlfriend on Friday night.
That's interesting.
Is that odd?
Yeah. Right. How many of those women from that first set do you still see?
Oh, my gosh. Almost all of them. A couple have died. Very close, two close ones have died.
But otherwise,
I still see them very close to them.
Huh. And
we keep in contact, which is good.
Right.
If you don't see them, I talk to them on the telephone, you know. In fact, some of them have relocated and I still, you know, correspond with them or call on the phone or whatever. You know.
And what were the bars like? Was it jukeboxes?
Oh, yeah.
And what kind of music?
No live music.
No live music.
No. Big band era. You know, that was
big
the thing.
Big band.
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah. And Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller.
And Count Basie and Duke Ellington, Jimmy Dorsey, Tommy Dorsey, you know.
And who were the favorites for the lesbians?
Oh, love songs, you know, torchy love songs, you know, the kind that, you know, make you want to wring your heart out, that kind of thing. You know, that kind of thing. Not really, like, silly things, you know, like, sometimes I like when you hear some of the songs that you can hardly understand the words to, you know. Yeah, right. But I think almost all of them like, you know, the torchy numbers, you know. Sad, you know, sentimental, nostalgic.
What were the kinds of dances that were popular in the 40s?
Well, they did so many different things that I can't really remember all the names. However, I'll try. They did a double time step, which is similar to the Lindy.
Oh, right.
You know. And they did, what the heck are the other things? I guess they call them like the Big Apple or crazy names, you know, funny little names. Big Apple. And, the Shag.
God, I don't even know what
that was funny. Oh, what else? That's what I think really got me, too, was watching, you know, the dances I had never seen, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're cute.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of different little steps that I probably improvised, you know, variations of boogie-type things, you know.
Were gays good dancers, then?
Yeah,
I
think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I think so. Just different beat, you know. Now it's everything disco.
I was going to ask you about being the lady. Did you mind that or did you like
it? I preferred it.
You preferred it. Huh? And did you stay like that through all your relationships after that?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
And what, in some of our other interviews, it's come up that a lot of women are the lady or femme when they first come out, and then they change. Do you know that that's...
I'm going to tell you something. In this group that I first met,
uh-huh.
none of them ever changed.
None of them ever changed, huh?
That's funny. You know, that you would think, like, maybe one of the girls would have been attracted, like, to another girl or something. You know, had a little more masculine in her than, you know. No, I never, never have known one who has changed. Huh. And I, as I said, I still have in contact with almost all of them that I was close to. I'm talking about a knit little group, you know. Where you went to each other's homes and, you know, that sort of thing. And besides the bars, they did a lot of home entertaining then, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
Especially during bad weather, you know.
How large a set was that that you were part of, do you think, when you went to people's homes?
I'd say 25, 30.
People would go for
close.
Drinks?
Now, they were close. These uh-huh. were close people. These were not just people they saw in the bar.
Uh-huh. These were people who...
they were close.
Called on one another. And
I'm
these
saying 25, 30 people, not couples.
Uh-huh. So it's...
Yeah.
Couples. And did, well, maybe I'm jumping ahead.
Maybe 15 couples, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go to you in June in New York, and then we can come back to Buffalo. How long were you there?
3 years.
And what was life like there for Kate?
I hated it.
You hated it?
I really hated it. I hated it because it was the first time I was ever away from my family. So even if it was interesting, and it was, say, good, you know, quote, I wouldn't have appreciated it, because I really and truly... I was very uncomfortable, even in Greenwich Village, because there were an awful lot of, I won't say degenerate-looking people, degenerate-type people that I thought were Nazi acting. It just seemed there were an awful lot of straight people in these bars. A lot of straight people used to want to get. It was not only all gay bars.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, tourists used to come in. That's the thing that I hated most, I think. You know, sit around and watch you, you know, like, let's watch the freaks, you know.
And that wasn't true in Buffalo.
No, I never found that in Buffalo. Well, don't forget, in Buffalo, as I said, Ralph had no escape. He protected people. If anybody came in, they didn't stay too long. Because he didn't encourage it. In fact, he discouraged it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you were really, like, protected, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I... And that, not only that, I mean, New York was a little too fast at that time. There was an awful lot of servicemen getting out of service, and there, you know, it was... We're deluged with, like, well, it was one particular night we were in a gay bar, and we had a whole bunch of, I don't know if they were Coast Guard or sailors, I don't even remember, or it was Navy, whatever. And a couple of the guys had come over to us and, you know, said something, and you know, you didn't want to be bothered then, I just, you know, don't want to be bothered, just, you know, leave us alone, you know. They were waiting for us when we got outside.
Oh.
We had one hell of a time getting away from them, too. I'm not kidding you.
How'd you do it?
We had to go back in and have them call us, have them call the police. We did, too. Yeah.
What'd the police do?
Well, they just said, what's the matter? You're crazy. Leave these girls alone. Because we really didn't. I guess we looked pretty nice, you know. And they probably figured, well, we were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And all we did was stop in for a couple. As I said, money was short with us. So we weren't really heavy drinkers anyway, and we didn't stay out that late. But it was like around, say, 2-ish, you know, or whatever in the morning. We'd come out like maybe about 11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of drinks. But we were really frightened, really.
Mm.
And we were with these other three girls. So we really, they said we had really a bad time. They were asking us all kinds of filthy things. Oh, it was awful. Really. It's really horrible. Well, you know, went through a lot of that there, which I did not like. Not so much hassle in Buffalo. A little, but not that much. As I said, but most of the bars, they really protected the kids. That, you know, they really did.
Huh.
A lot more than they do now.
Huh. That's interesting. Why do you think it changed?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it was that they had so much tourism or what it was. You know, a lot of people going out that never went out probably in their hometown. Big deal, you know. Or in New York, let's whoop it up, you know, and go see. I guess they probably... Greenwich Village was an attraction, just like, say, the Rockettes were, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go.
They'd go to see it, you know. That was part of the tour, evidently. But I really didn't like living in New York at all.
So when June finished, you came back?
We came back, yeah.
And what about her three friends? Did they stay?
They stayed. Oh, they were originally from New York.
Oh, I see, in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And so they
They're originally
there.
From New York. Yeah, in fact, one of them died.
Well, when you and June would go out, would she be wearing very tailored clothes
yes.
and a suit? Would she wear pants?
Yes.
Was she wearing pants that night in New York?
Yes. But so was I.
Oh, you were too.
I was wearing pants too, but I had, like, I had a blouse on, and, you know, I looked up, had makeup on, whatever, you know. So, evidently, we did look a hell of a lot. Well, my hair was longer.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So then when June and you came back, were you still going together?
Oh, sure. We went together 8 years.
You went together 8 years. Your first relationship was 8 years. 8 years. Huh. And when you came back, you went back to your old, same old set of people you were seeing before then.
Well, they had come down to visit us and everything. I mean, we never were really out of touch with them. You know, we wrote, and they wrote. Because it's very lonely, you know, especially in a city where you don't know that many people, you know. And New York is one of the most difficult places to make any kind of relationship. No way. They're clicky. They're not like Buffalo. Really. Buffalo is much more receptive, I think, open-minded, you know. New York, they had their own little set of rules, you know. We never made any friends there.
No,
really.
No friends at all. Gay friends, straight friends.
None. And even when you went into the same bar all the time and saw even the same people, you'd say hello, that was it. Half the time they didn't say hello. You know. Very cold. But, of course.
In the village, was there a lot of entertainment, like trans, were there like male impersonators and female impersonators, or there weren't many clubs?
No, there weren't that many clubs where they had entertainment, live entertainment. There was only one place, the Village Vanguard, that had live entertainment. And we went there a couple of times. But most of the places just had like a guitar player. At that time, that was really great because, you know, somebody live that you could look at, you know, that listened to a jukebox.
So when you came back to Buffalo, you said before that was a mistake. Why was
it
a mistake?
Because I had left home, you know, with such bad feelings, you know. I just walked out, don't forget, you know, first time away, you know. And I didn't really go to see my family right away because I was really afraid to.
And what did they say when you came to
I called my mother. Well, I called my mother many times from New York.
And what she had
and
to
she'd
say?
Always cry, when, you know, why did you do this to me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I felt horrible. But when I came back, I didn't go to see her right away. I think maybe a couple of months passed, and I finally said, well, I've got to go see her, you know. And I went to see her. She was all right. She was, you know, she was not as bad as I thought it would be. And I went there for dinner. I sat down and talked to her, you know. Then, of course, I had to leave. That didn't set too well. You know. She wasn't really too happy about that, but she kind of started came around, you know. Except for June, which I thought was great.
She did?
Yeah. She came to my house for dinner. She had to accept her. She got to know her. She liked her. My family still likes her.
Huh.
It's amazing.
Did your father accept her?
My father was not alive then. Oh. My father died when I was young. Quite young.
Well, how old are you?
I think 14. 13 or 14.
So your mother had to go through this all herself.
Yeah, right. Well, thank God. I'm glad my father wasn't there. Really?
Because he would have killed
me. Well, he would have murdered me.
It's amazing none of your brothers did.
They did try. That's why I left home. That was one of the reasons why I left.
What'd they try to do?
Well, true, my brothers beat me up. I could have really had them for assault. I could have had them arrested for assault and battery. But I didn't.
This was after that person had called your mother and told her, and then she spoke to you.
She told my brothers.
And then what? They just said, Judy, come over here. What'd they do?
No, they caught me outside. Was coming out of the bar.
Was June there?
Didn't do anything to it, thank God.
And what'd she do?
I said, just go, you know, drive away. Well, I wasn't living with her then. I was living at home. I forget if I had been a little older, I'd have been smarter. Maybe I should have had them arrested for assault and battery.
Were you badly beaten?
No. No.
No, and then after that, what happened?
Well, then I just thought, well, can't go through this again.
That's when they left.
So that's the hell with it. I'm going.
They didn't try it again after that?
No, never again.
Did you ever talk to them about that?
Sure.
What'd they say?
Oh, they died when they talked about it. They don't even want to hear about it. My one brother said, the only reason why I did it is because when I came out of the service, he said, I went to this bar, and he said, first thing I heard, this guy told me, you're such as a lesbian. You know, you're such as queer, you know, this kind of thing. And I think this is what riled him. So he talked to my other brother, and they knew where I was hanging around by then. So they waited outside the bar, you know, until I came out. They didn't come in the bar. They had a long wait, too. I think that was even what made it matter.
So you and June lived together. Where did you live together when you came
out? On East Utica first. No, on Norwood first. On Norwood Avenue. And then on East Utica. Two places, yeah. Lived about 3 years in one place, and about 5 years in another apartment.
When was it that you came back? In 1948 or 40?
No.
Forty-eight. And then you had 3 years and 5 years. Was it a good relationship? Mm-hmm.
I thought so. How
did it end?
Well, I really don't know what happened, honestly. I can't really put my finger on any particular thing. Many things, you know. I probably sort of had a guilt complex. Family-wise, I was really influenced by my family a lot. I mean, really, I think, as I still am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, decided to go back and live with my mother. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh, wow.
I didn't go live with anybody else. I lived with my mother.
Oh. And what did June think? Did she understand?
She understood. Yeah, thank God. She did. I said, that's probably like a good friend today, because she was an understanding, intelligent person.
Did it hurt her a lot?
Sure. That hurt me, too.
Yeah.
Because I still, you know, saw her, went out and had a few drinks with her every now and then, and, you know, we still were talking on the phone every day and this kind of thing, you know, for quite a while.
And you all still saw your friends the same?
Oh, yeah.
25 or 30
right.
People that you saw.
Right.
Did you stay away from the gay life when you went home?
For a short time, I did. But I never really went back into it, you know, 100% while I was living at home. I went out, you know, went and saw, as I said, by then I had made my own little friends, you know, like away from her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another, not the same group.
They weren't the same group?
No. Well, don't forget, they were her friends.
Right.
And I didn't think that I would have much sympathy, you know, which I did.
Where did you meet these other friends? At the bar?
So both bars.
So the bar was a central place for lesbians to meet one another. Huh. And you still see that friend, those group.
Mm-hmm.
That group too. Huh. I don't know quite how you talk about something like this, but was your relationship sexual the entire time, or did you find it was an active sexual relationship at the beginning and it died out, and then it died more?
Right.
The end. Did you all ever talk about that? Was that a problem to you all, and how did you think about it?
When we discussed it, I just felt that.
So when was June, and then when was Pinky, and then when was
Pinky? After I went home to my mother, you know, and I met this fellow. And I was working at my message over the tavern for the post office. And I met him. He was a postal inspector, my age. And started going out, you know, basketball games, you know, sporting events, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And he asked me to marry him, and I thought about it. I thought, well, that's a bad idea, you know. I went in for about a year and a half. And just dated, you know, nothing else. Just I went home to my mother, you know. Each night, and then all of a sudden, maybe this is my salvation, you know. Never tried it, why not? You know. Lasted two and a half weeks. And I just couldn't. I knew that I had made the biggest mistake of my life. As I said, if it had been a different person, but he was not the right person, he was a very weak person, you know. Which I didn't. You don't discover until you're with around someone, you know. And I thought, oh no, this is not my bag. You know.
Did you just be wasting your life?
Yeah, well, I'm wasting his too. But never been divorced. He's a devout Catholic, which is even crazier, isn't it? 25 years ago.
So this was after you left June.
Yeah.
And you were living at home.
And then my mother passed away, and in that year I met Pinky, and I lived with her for 9 years. I know we parted friends, we're still very close friends, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I dated other people in between, you know. As I said, nothing really, any relationship that was anything that lasted any length of time. Mostly probably because I wasn't ready for it. The person was the wrong person or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
But it just wasn't the right time, the right place, or the right person. And then, I guess I dated a lot of people. And then I met Dawn. And I lived with her for 5 years. But we're still very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
close, you know, just like I am with the others.
That's wonderful.
But I say if you love someone, you have to like them. You couldn't just
right.
not be friends with them, you know. And I never really pushed the friendship. I don't think I was, you know, obnoxious about it. It just happened. We just happened to be good friends. And we're still all good friends today. It's funny.
Great.
Because I don't know if you could do this with husbands.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because I started out my husband's friend, you know. Nor is he mine.
Never see one, never.
Never. I've never seen him. Isn't that crazy? Never ran into him anywhere. Now that's even odder.
Is he still involved?